JT, live in Vegas.
From the Las Vegas Strip, right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college.
LeBron.
We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Thanks for joining us, JT, with you. Following up TC Martin, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Thanks for being here. We're brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the home of PT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's. They now own the Stratosphere, and they are ready for your fantasy football draft. More details coming at the 55-plus locations, the fantasy football draft kits, the specials, the opportunity to have a private room, to have your own corner of the place, to have everything going. Bring your friends to PT's as you build your fantasy drafts here in the coming weeks. Busy, busy show tonight, and I'm starting to look at this show morphing into the national show at 5 o'clock. We talk local sports here when it's relevant. We talk national sports here when it leads. We still are leading with Urban Meyer and what's happening at Ohio State this evening, as a decision has not been made, as Ohio State, the AD, the president, everybody involved in that school is bunkered down trying to figure out what they're going to do with the tenure of Urban Meyer going forward here. Big decision, a transforming decision at Ohio State, which could change the balance of power in college football for years to come. Urban Meyer is a winner. He wins at the highest level. He's got three national championships, two with Florida, one with Ohio State. He owns Michigan in his rivalry with Harbaugh in Michigan. This is big, really big, because I believe Ohio State would like to keep him if they could find a way to do it. But they probably can't if all of this comes about that he knowingly knew that one of his coaches, who he mentored for a long time, was involved in a toxic relationship when he was married, broken up, separated, and divorced, committed domestic violence, and he didn't do enough about it. We have the big name joining us at 5:30, Brett McMurphy, who broke the story, the journalist. And he's been going through the rounds, so we get him here at Fox Sports Radio tonight. I will ask him specifically about the text messages that he saw. Over 100 text messages from Courtney Smith that showed photos and specifics about the way that she was violated and what she forwarded to Urban Meyer's wife. Again, she didn't forward those text messages to Urban Meyer. The story's about Urban Meyer's wife, who's a nurse on campus at Ohio State, has a job there, and what was her role in either bringing this to her husband or not bringing it to her husband. But I think we all agree that if you're in a marriage and something like this was happening and big, you would tell your wife, or your wife would tell you if you had information like that. So we will do a deep dive with Brett McMurphy coming up at 5:30. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be a really big deal for us. We'll get into that. Russell Baxter, great NFL insider. He's at the Hall of Fame. He's going to check in with us in 30 minutes from the press box. He's up in the press box, Hall of Fame game tonight. And our college football insider, Joe Lisi, will come up and walk us through Ohio State from his perspective, their schedule, and everything that plays out here. Yankees, Red Sox, it's the biggest rivalry in my life. Bobby, who runs the show, sitting across from me with the Red Sox cap on. Today is always an emotional day for me. On this day, Thurman Munson died 39 years ago today. He was my childhood hero. He was my favorite player of all time. And that says a lot. I got some players I love. Pete Rose. You go down the list of great players in baseball history. Mine was Thurman Munson. As a Yankee fan growing up, he died in a plane crash on the runway in Canton, Ohio, as he was trying to learn how to fly a plane that was just too sharp for him. He went up to a small plane, a Cessna, to a jet that cost $1.2 million at the time, and basically were doing touchdowns and takeoffs, and he ended up dying. And a devastating story. 39 years ago, I remember where I was that day. Two things in my youth, I remember the day I heard the news and how it affected me. The day Munson died and the day Leonard Skinner had their plane crash and members were lost. And I remember that being part of my youth as a kid growing up. So Godspeed to Munson's family today. The Yankees start off this four-game series at Fenway Park, and it's a monster. I think the Red Sox can clearly put the Yankees away. If they sweep them or win three out of four, if the Yankees can win three out of four, because I don't think they can sweep at Fenway, they are back in it, and they will have a race to the end. We'll talk about all other baseball stories here this week. We've really had a strong 5 days. A week ago, today I was in Napa. We interviewed John Gruden. Then we had Derek Carr. We've been trying to replay the Derek Carr interview, but we haven't had time to do it. And then this week we had some pretty solid guests on, especially when it came to the gaming issues with the NBA and the MGM. Scott Butera from MGM, their president of Interactive Gaming, joined us yesterday. We were excited about that. But it's all about the NFL. It's underway. We have the Hall of Fame game tonight. I think the big takeaway is RG3 is going to play a little bit. Then Lamar Jackson, who's supposed to be the quarterback of the future, is going to take over. And if he plays well, not in this game tonight, but if he plays well in the preseason, that would be huge. Also, the reports that, and I said this first, and ESPN just blew it up. I had it first 2 weeks ago. Tiger and Phil will play at Shadow Creek in their multi-million-dollar one-on-one match. ESPN just puts up there. Mike Greenberg broke that story. We said it's sitting here. Two weeks ago, did we say that? 2 weeks ago, we said that. But good for them. And that'll be a big story that we get into. But let's start again with Urban Meyer. Really, what's hurting Urban Meyer is when he laid out the timeline at Big Ten Media Day about his former coach and why he kept him so long before letting him go.
I am going to address the 2009 because I've been asked about that. 2009, Zach was an intern, a very young couple. As I do any time that I imagine most coaches or people in leadership positions, you receive a phone call. First thing you do is tell your boss, let the experts do their jobs. It came back to me that what was reported wasn't actually what happened. And so 2015, I got a text late last night that something happened in 2015 and there was nothing. You know, once again, I don't know who creates a story like that. And then this recent one was, you press pause. It's something our team lives by, E plus R equals O. You get an event. You press pause, get your mind right, and step up. Press pause to gather information, get your mind right to gather energy, and then step up to do the right thing. That's the position that I hold, and that's why we did that.
So that is a soundbite on why Urban Meyer should be fired or be a part of a buyout when he said, when he heard about the 2015 story the other night, and that was nothing. No, it was something. That's the whole basis of the story. So if he's claiming that a domestic violence issue in 2015 was, quote, nothing, and he didn't do anything, and he didn't follow the proper channels, then he deserves to lose his job because he kept this coach on the staff throughout 2015, 16, 17. And that's grounds to be fired. And that's enough. I think he understands that. They're trying to clean that up now behind the scenes at Ohio State tonight. Also, Urban Meyer knows that he's not bigger than Ohio State, and Ohio State's got a big decision coming up.
I try to stay focused on what's the most important thing, that's our players and our team. But I do understand the value of, it's the Ohio State University is bigger than all of us. And so you have to do what's right by them. And the timing, it wasn't just my decision. It was a group effort on several people that I rely on.
All right, so that's Urban Meyer and his comments there. I think he is a leader of men. I talked to a buddy about this today. If you look at Rick Pitino's entire career, Art Briles, who got run out of Baylor when there were sexual assaults on that campus and what happened. So you got Pitino, Art Briles, Joe Paterno, and now Urban Meyer. I think in general, those men did a lot more good than bad. Would you agree with me on that? These mistakes are huge mistakes and grounds for termination. But if you look at Rick Pitino's entire life, assistant coach, Providence, everything he did, all the kids he recruited helped have a better life. And then he has a problem outside his marriage. Then he's got a player. Then they're having parties on campus. He ends up getting run out of Louisville. I don't think that Rick Pitino, his entire life, should be judged by the 2 to 3 big mistakes he made. But we're living under a microscope now. And I will say the same thing with Urban Meyer. Did Urban Meyer do shady things at Florida? Absolutely. Was his players running wild in bars like Aaron Hernandez? Were they running up and down Gainesville and getting in trouble? Did he have some shady characters? Absolutely. But it seemed like he cleaned it up by the time he got to Ohio State. Ohio State overall wins a lot of football games, won a national championship, All-Americans, a lot of players who are playing in the NFL now. Gerrion Conley playing for the Raiders seems to be a really good kid. He played for Urban Meyer. You look at all the good he's done, he'll be remembered for this. So that's where we are in 2018 when we look at legacy. I'm a legacy guy. I like talking about legacy a lot. You know, my Looney makes fun of me. I talk about statues. Who's getting a statue? Fleury's going to get a statue. Kobe gets a statue. Urban Meyer was going to get a statue at Ohio State. All he had to do was stay there another 10 years, and they would put him down there with Woody Hayes and Earl Bruce. And if you look at all the great coaches that have come through, Urban Meyer would have been one of the all-time greats. And now all coaches moving forward, there can no longer be mistakes like this. I was thinking about Nick Saban. And I'll mention, you know, Tony, if you look at what's happening here in town with UNLV, all coaches last night, in my opinion, should have held an emergency meeting. Every coach, Division I, II, and III, even high school, if you have the chance. And the head coach should have called an emergency meeting and said, everybody get back on campus and meet in my office. And the coach should have looked around to all the men in the meeting and said, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to go around. I want all of you to tell me in front of everybody, where's your marriage at? I want to know if you have any issues. Have you been involved with domestic violence? Is there a police report pending? Have the police been to your home and left without incident? I want all he is in front of all of us to clear the air so I know something. And then you clear the air. If you got one coach or two with a problem, you run it up the flagpole to your bosses. You say, I had a meeting, and you're good. Because as long as you're not involved in a toxic marriage with domestic violence, if your coaches are, that's not your problem. It's your coach's problem, but they're underneath you, and they report to you. So in the future, to me, it's very simple. In any job, here at a radio station, at a law firm, and an accounting firm, at a casino, something happens, you run it up the flagpole to your boss, they document it, and then you go back to work. And I think what could save Urban Meyer, and we'll talk about this with Brett McMurphy, who joins us at 5:30, I think what could save him is if he says, I was sympathetic to this couple. I was his mentor. I loved this couple. I tried to help them and counsel them through this. It was bigger than I thought. I made a mistake. I failed myself and the marriage. I couldn't help them out. I apologize. And then if the university comes together and says, that's good enough, but Urban, you lied to the media, then Urban Meyer is going to have to get in front of the media and admit he lied with his comments, and Urban Meyer is going to have to clean this up. So there's a lot going on. What's changed in your mind in the last 24 hours? 876-1340. This show's interactive. I'd like to hear from a coach. I really like to hear from a coach or a wife who understands what this issue is, where maybe you know another wife in the community that's going through this, and a wife is reaching out to another wife saying, you know, I'm going through a difficult time. I want to tell you about it. Is it the job of the wife who's receiving this news to tell other people? I would say yes, but women have confidence in each other. They keep things together just like men. I think we've learned by 2018, if you hear or see anything to do with domestic violence, you have to report it. And that's the problem here for Urban Meyer's wife, who's a nurse on campus, and her responsibility is to go out and report that. Hey, exciting news today up in Raiders camp as we're building the best Raider network in all of Vegas with the insiders. Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson. We're up at camp. I've been texting back and forth. We're hopefully going to try to get Charles Woodson on here pretty quickly. And Peyton Manning showed up today for John Gruden. So John Gruden's been getting hit pretty hard on the radio by certain shows, saying that he's living in the 90s and he's looking at old film from the 70s. It's incredible what people don't know about John Gruden. No one wants to win more than John Gruden. The big misnomer now, the mistake that everyone's saying about Gruden, is he left the game for 10 years. He didn't leave the game for 10 years and go on a walkabout. You know, he didn't go backpacking through Europe. John Gruden went on a deep dive with every coach in the league, was invited into all of their film rooms. They came into Gruden's film rooms. Gruden went with the Monday Night Football staff to city to city to city to city, understanding the new concept so John Gruden would be a brilliant broadcaster on the radio. He tied it up beautifully, said, I had enough of Monday Night Football. Let's jump in now and go back to coaching. For anybody to question that John Gruden is not ready to be back in the NFL because the league has passed him by, What? All the guy does is talk football. All he does is live and breathe football. And because he hangs out with Jim Otto, because he brings Peyton Manning to camp, because he talks to Raider alumni from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, he's living in the past. The best part about some of these guys' life is their past. John Gruden won a Super Bowl in the past. Okay, John Gruden is one more Super Bowl away from going to the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And he's getting beat up by some for being a guy who's been away from the sport. Again, look, if I left radio for 10 years and came back 10 years from now, what's different? It's as lame as it's ever been. There's more poll questions. There's seven guys talking on a radio show. You ever catch those radio shows where there's seven guys? You don't know who they are. The phone screener's waving in the back. He's talking. You got all this stuff going on. If I left for 10 years and came back, I think I'd know how to do a monologue, read a tweet, interview a guest. I don't think the industry would get away from me. But some people think the industry's getting away from John Gruden because he was a broadcaster. So I thought it was great that they brought up Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson to address the team. Let's see if it works, because it's going to have to work. The pressure's on John Gruden to get this done. One other point on the NBA front. All reports are that Carmelo Anthony is ready to be a Houston Rocket. Everybody understands that this is the fit with Mike D'Antoni. The summer of LeBron James has got one more piece left with Carmelo Anthony to tie up the entire offseason. As we go into the new season, which is sooner than you think, with the preseason, a lot like the Golden Knights, it's going to jump on us here pretty quickly here. So Carmelo will be the final move there as the summer of LeBron is wrapped up, and it was a pretty good summer. Unfortunately for my business, good news is bad things happening because it gets people interested. You have the summer of LeBron and Urban Meyer, and we don't have a conclusion with Urban. But we're going to do a deeper dive coming up here in about an hour. Joe Lisi will join us from Go For The Two. He's really good. He's got a brand new publication out that you should have coming into college football season. If you're interested, we'll talk to him about that. Russell Baxter, the football guru and NFL insider, live from Canton. It's Hall of Fame weekend. It's a great class. Unfortunately, Terrell Owens didn't show up. And Terrell Owens should be on the ground in Canton tonight celebrating with his family and friends. I'll ask Russell Baxter about the energy and excitement right there at Tom Benson Field in Canton. The Henderson Hyundai Superstore. Stop by and look for the deals. There are deals galore. Boulder Highway, Henderson.
When somebody is crying out for help, the coach, along with the coach's wife, have a duty. They have a duty to do something to help. Instead of worrying about winning games, somebody's safety and safety of their children and that the environment that they're in needs to be more important.
That's Courtney Smith, who was married at one time to Zach Smith, and they had a toxic marriage, domestic violence involved. She moved on. They got divorced. But there was another incident, allegedly, in 2015 that Urban Meyer allegedly knew about through his wife but didn't do anything about, and that could be the reason that Urban Meyer loses his job. For Courtney Smith, she's in a really tough spot now because she's very courageous for coming forward, but now we're dealing with trolls on the internet and on Twitter and diehard fans that want Urban Meyer to keep his job. So she's in a very tough spot now because she's a victim of domestic violence and she's come public, which is the right thing to do, but now she's got to get ready for the criticism and the football fans who are so over the top, not only in that rivalry with Michigan and the Big Ten, but just diehard sports fans in general who are going to be really tough on her there. So she's going to need a really good support staff. She's going to need people around her, and she's going to need obviously a lot of guidance along the way for what she's doing there. It takes courage to step up and say that. Joe Lisi, one of the more connected guys in college football, Go For The Two. Go for gofor2.com. And Joe, let's jump in with Urban Meyer. You have a lot of sources. What are you thinking right now? Is Ohio State looking to get rid of him? Or could Urban Meyer, as we speak, be bunkered down trying to save his job?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think he's bunkered down trying to save his job right now, JT. Unfortunate circumstances surrounding the Buckeyes and the program. But we've seen it now in the NFL. We've seen it now trickle down into the collegiate level with Michigan State and Penn State, different types of circumstances. But it's unfortunate for Buckeye fans, but there needs to be a zero-tolerance policy with a situation such as these. And it's unfortunate, but we'll see how it plays out for Urban Meyer and the team.
Joe, were you surprised? I've been following you on Twitter that Urban came clean on in 2009 as the head coach of the Gators with Zach Smith, but he wouldn't in 2015 if he had knowledge. He said there wasn't an issue. So why would he be clear and concise about it in 2009 and do the right thing, but not want to do it in 2015?
Yeah, I think it's more of a case of being on top of the world with Florida. You know, having a team where they were at the top of college football, the pinnacle of college football when he was the head coach. And now you look at it, and Alabama's the king of the hill. And I really think that when you look at these teams in the landscape of college football as a whole, it's a win-now mentality. Everybody's trying to be top dog. It starts with TV revenue and it trickles down to the boosters, as you know, JT, and coaches have more tolerance to take on situations and coaches like this with second chances to give them the best opportunity to win now. And it's unfortunate, but we've seen it across the landscape, not just college football. We've seen it in the financial world. Fraud. We've seen guys steal from hedge funds and been given second and third chances because of the win-now mentality, because of the bottom-line revenue. And until that mentality changes across the landscape of the world, we'll see these situations pop up within collegiate sports.
Joe Lisi's our guest. Joe, I said this, and it's tough to say, but I got to mention it. He's done a lot of good. There's a lot of players that needed an education, needed a mentor, needed a life coach, and Urban Meyer's had hundreds of them throughout his career. Do you believe he was loyal to this assistant coach because he was the grandson of Earl Bruce, and Earl Bruce was a mentor for Urban Meyer? It's amazing how that program was connected through a grandfather, Urban Meyer, and a grandson. Seems like loyalty played a big role.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think whenever you're too close to a situation, you have the tendency to maybe overlook warning signs or overlook certain types of tendencies. And I think that could have been a situation that occurred in this type of scenario with Zach Smith. Whether or not that happened with Urban Meyer, I don't have those type of details. But I think you bring up a great, great point. When you are close and you've done good, but then you're passionate about someone or something where you feel like this situation will change, if given another opportunity, there can be the situation that plays out with Ohio State right now that we're looking at where you have the tendency to overlook certain warning signs and certain things that maybe you wouldn't have tolerated before with someone who's not as close to you. So I agree with that statement wholeheartedly, but it has to be a zero tolerance policy with situations like this, because unfortunately it'll just snowball into bigger and more serious things down the road.
Yeah, you can't tell 18, 19, 20-year-old student athletes to not put their hands on a woman, and then you have a coach doing it, and he's able to keep his job. Joe Lisi's our guest. GoForTheTwo.com. Ohio State, coaches poll number 3. Really, really good team. And I don't want to get too far ahead here because they're going to make a decision here pretty quickly, but was this one of the better Ohio State teams that you've seen under Urban Meyer? They've won a national championship. That's a high ranking. Obviously, this team looks pretty loaded in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it really does, JT. I mean, I think when you look at what they were able to do last year, 12-2 overall, dominate USC, and more importantly, dominate Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. I mean, this was a team last year that rushed for over 200 yards in 10 of the 14 games. They won those games by 30.6 points per game. They also passed for 7 of their 14 over 300 and won those games by 34.6 points per game. Huge losses, though, on the defensive side of the ball, along with JT Barrett. I wasn't as high on them as a lot of people. I picked them at 9-3. That's with Urban Meyer at the helm, and from a schedule perspective, 75-75 from their FBS opponents. But let's keep in mind three tough road games at TCU and Arlington. They also have to go at Penn State, which is a very difficult game, and at Michigan State this year. So I think it's going to be a tough road with or without Urban Meyer. I picked them at 9-3. Overall.
Yeah, if we look at the top 14, you got Michigan at 14, Michigan State at 12, Penn State at 9, Wisconsin at 7, and Ohio State at 3. I mean, something's going to shake out. And as we wrap this up, Joe, if he stays there, if he keeps his job, I think his players are absolutely going to rally around him. If he loses his job from a gaming perspective out here in Vegas, I think a lot of people are obviously going to fade Ohio State if Urban Meyer's not on the sideline.
Yeah, that's a great point. And let's keep in mind, Zach Day now, Ryan Day is the new head coach. He's got two head coaches, former head coaches on staff, and Kevin Wilson and Greg Schiano on the defensive side of the ball. Both of those coaches have had their issues in the past. You saw Schiano with Tennessee and Wilson being fired from Indiana. So if Day is the head coach going through the season, how will that play out with all three of those personalities? I think there's no other way, but you have to fade the Ohio State Buckeyes if Urban Meyer is not at the helm for the 2018 season.
Joe, last point. This is bad news for college football. This is about as big of a black eye as we've seen since Penn State and Joe Paterno and Art Briles and Baylor was a big deal. The NCAA, no matter what happens, the television partners and even college football fans got to be really upset heading into camp here. We side with the victims in domestic violence here, but from a college football perspective, it's going to get off to an ugly start in regards to national media coverage, huh?
It really is. And when you watch kids play, we know, JT, that 90% of them are not going to make the NFL. So to have this black eye surround college football just 3 weeks from the season is very detrimental to the kids that love and play hard for the game. It is very unfortunate, but I'll say it again, money drives the bus, and TV revenue, and as long as the TV is paying for programs across college football, schools will tolerate this type of policy from their head coaches and from their staffs. They'll sweep things under the table, and until we put a stop to it, it's going to continue. It's unfortunate, but it will continue throughout the coming years unless there is a culture change across the world.
Tell everybody where they can get your preseason publication.
Yeah, they can pick it up on Amazon. It's gophorthechew.com, Power 5 Preview. It's available in the ebook. It's also available in paperback. They can check it out. They could also hit me up on Twitter, @gophorthechew, on Twitter, @gophorthechew, the number 2.
Thank you, Joe. Have a great week.
You too, JT. Love the show.
You got it. Joe Lisi, his Power 5, it's fantastic. He's got one of the best. Mark Lawrence sent me a copy of his. I got Joe and Mark Lawrence's preseason guides. It's great if you're a college football fan. We appreciate that. Pouring rain in Boston. Yankees up early 3-0. And we'll get you up an update on the Hall of Fame game coming up in Canton, Ohio. We're going to talk to Russell Baxter. Coming up next from Canton, Ohio, as we kick off football tonight. How does that feel, everybody? Most people tell me the same thing. Oh, let me know when preseason's over. Well, I got 4 preseason games coming that mean a lot to me. I'll be on the sidelines for the Raiders a week from Friday. Raiders open up at home. Oakland versus Detroit. Then at the Rams in L.A., home against Green Bay, and then Seattle. Raider Nation is here on Fox.
This man right here has a lot to do with why I'm here today. The timing is right. Really doesn't have anything to do with the contract. I just want to be a part of the Raiders again. I want to finish my coaching career as an Oakland Raider.
John Gruden, and we spoke to him a week ago tonight live from Napa. JT, back with you. One of my favorite and one of the best NFL insiders out there. Russell Baxter, the football guru, joins us live from Canton, Ohio. Russell, I wish I was there. I've been there a bunch. Give us the atmosphere tonight in Canton, Ohio with this Hall of Fame class.
Well, it's Thursday, and it's so much different than it used to be. I'll have to tell you. I mean, the first year I was here was 1989. The ceremony was on the steps at 11 o'clock in the morning. The game was at 2:30 in the afternoon on ABC's Wild World of Sports. So only a couple of years ago, sir, that they shifted the game to Thursday night. The game used to be the follow-up. And everybody's not quite in what I would say Hall of Fame mood yet. Okay, tomorrow night is the jacket dinner. Saturday night is the acceptance speeches. And I think tomorrow it'll really rev up. I know you've probably been to the jacket dinner. I've been to it about 25 times. You know, in some ways it's, you know, even more spectacular and emotional than the speeches themselves.
Tell us about that, because I was there for two. The Stabler family invited me. I was there with Bruce Allen when the late George Allen got his coat with his family there. And it really is breathtaking, and it's the moment where they receive their jacket. What's that been like for you, seeing all these icons at that moment, especially with their teammates, their family, and their class and friends?
Well, that's the thing. The thing to always keep in mind about this entire weekend is for the individual and their families. And the families, as you know, sacrifice so much in the same way that the player or the coach or the administrator does, as far as he gives up his time and his skills and so on. And those families and the children and the wives and so on, they kind of give up, you know, not having that person around and so on. So when you see, and you see, it becomes more and more vogue now to have family members give the recipients the jackets, you know, fathers giving them to sons, brothers giving them to brothers, daughters and sons giving them to their fathers, and so on. So that to me is just, you know, the reality of putting on that jacket is, I think that's the first time it really sinks in. I mean, obviously they're going to see their busts on Saturday when they're unveiled and so on, but and the whole atmosphere of the whole event, you know, the thing to keep in mind about this town is this is a pretty much a volunteer event.
Yes, it is.
And the dinner itself is a thank you to the thousands and thousands of people who helped put this on, a week long worth of celebrations. They take care of the inductees. They take care of the families. They really go all out. I mean, I've been coming here almost 30 years. To see it grow has been spectacular.
That's why I'm thrilled we could have you. Russell Baxter joins us live from Canton, Ohio, Hall of Fame weekend. Look, we all know about Ray Lewis's past and what happened in Atlanta, how he was able to clear his name in court. And there's a lot of bitterness, and there's some people out there that are looking at Ray Lewis wondering if he deserves this honor. I believe he does, as one of the greatest football players of all time. I put him on my short list, and you know the history of Deacon Jones and the Ray Nitschke lunch and what it means to be talked about and debated. But when you look at the history of this game, from leather helmets to what's going to happen on Saturday, talk about the impact that Ray Lewis had as a football player.
Well, you go back and just, you know, the 2000 Ravens, you know, obviously they weren't an offensive juggernaut, but I want you to think about this for a second, okay? They were a wild card team that year, okay? So they played 20 games to win that championship, okay? Four postseason games, 16 regular season games. If you take the regular season and the postseason, 20 games, the Ravens gave up 188 points in 20 games. In four postseason games against four quality opponents, their defensive unit gave up one touchdown. And Ray Lewis was the spearhead of that. He was Super Bowl MVP that year. He catapulted that team. And listen, Peter Boulware, Michael McCrary, you know, they had a lot of good players, don't get me wrong, and so on. But, you know, there is an aura to the middle linebacker position. It's the glamour position on defense. You know, the Jack Lamberts, the Ray Nitschke's, the, you know, we got two of them coming in there, Brian Urlacher and Ray Lewis. Okay. We actually, you know, it's funny. People talk about defense in the Hall of Fame. We have three linebackers going in this year, Robert Brazil from the whole, all Houston Oilers. But, you know, you also just think about, again, the middle line, Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, just from the Bears. I mean, think of that legacy, you know, jump off Ray Lewis for a second. Bill George, Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, Brian Urlacher. But Ray Lewis is the headliner here. He's one of those guys I think they started carving the bust about 5 years into his career.
Randy Moss could have had a very troubled career coming out of Marshall, coming out of high school, let alone college. And when you take a look at Randy Moss's career and what he accomplished, can you touch on how he stayed out of trouble, had a couple of bumps along the way, the Raider deal? I watched him lay down in front of me on a bench and not give 100%, but still put up these colossal numbers overall that made him an easy first ballot guy.
Yeah, I mean, 17 touchdowns as a rookie. We hadn't seen anything like that. That Thanksgiving Day against the Dallas Cowboys, just explosive deep threat, and proved he could do it in so many different ways. He holds the touchdown reception record for a season with Tom Brady, 23 of Tom Brady's 50 touchdown passes that year. So, again, unlike anything we have seen, coaches and other players have always marveled at his football IQ and, you know, how much of a student of the game was. And that's the stuff that really catches attention. I know there's always a lot of controversy about the Hall of Fame in terms of on the field and off the field. It sounds sad to see the off the field stuff is really the thing that the Hall of Fame tries to blot out. It's the on the field stuff and, as we are finding out, almost within the locker room type of stuff, in the case of Terrell Owens, that seems to have gotten in the way of certain people getting in. For me, I'm just glad to see another first ballot Hall of Fame receiver finally get in. We've had 27 modern day wide receivers. Only six are first ballot. You know, I understand Terrell Owens' gripe, but I think the gripe is with the wide receiver position, not anything else. I don't understand why guys wait. Now, Marvin Harrison, Tim Brown, Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, the list goes on and on.
And finally, Russell, can you comment on Bobby Bethard? I lived in San Diego for 8 years of my life and saw the impact that he had on the Chargers. He had a bigger impact, too, around the league. It's always nice when executives get in and GMs get in who have a really big footprint and the families can come back and enjoy the access that they get to Canton, Ohio in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I remember when I was covering the draft with ESPN, and we would always get to the Chargers' first-round pick, and they would trade it and wouldn't make their pick into the second round. And that became kind of Bobby Bethard's mantra is, you know, trading out of the first round. So there was almost kind of this thing about what he didn't do in the first round, but I think what got lost sometimes and for a long time is what he did do. And he built a number of very, very good football teams. And as you know, that's a skill in itself, that eye of talent. And we are now seeing the, you know, the Ron Wolfs and the Bill Polians and Bobby Bethard and all these names that we have heard over the years with the NFL draft. I mean, the thing about the NFL draft finally coming into prominence, as you know, is a lot of these guys finally became very, very recognizable faces. I mean, you know, everybody knows Ozzie Newsome as a great writer, as a tight end, the Hall of Fame tight end. But now they also know him as an executive. I think a lot of fans know more about general managers than they ever did in the NFL.
Last one. It's too early in the week. You're kind with your time. T.O. not being there. With all the contacts you have and the peers and how long you've been doing this, what a devastating mistake. I'm sure his party's going to be great in Chattanooga, and he has his reasons. But to not be there and experience what you just told us about so perfectly, that jacket ceremony, what a loss for Terrell Owens.
I was talking about this to somebody, and I started to get emotional about it because I've been coming here so long, and I see the effect it has on the individual and the families and the chance to, because no one cares when you got in. Okay, Jerry Kramer waited 40 years. The irony that he's doing that this year, and he has the right to do whatever he wants, but Jerry Kramer waiting 45 years, and you know what that speech is going to be like. It's a chance for you to say thank you to everybody, and he'll do that in a different kind of way. But, you know, you get here and you walk down that aisle and you got Mean Joe Green and Bob Lilly and Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and all these people, and now you're one of them. I mean, that Hall of Fame class rises to only 318 after this weekend. That's not a lot of people.
Thank you, Russell. Greatly appreciate your time. Enjoy the weekend.
You got it.
You got it, buddy. There, thank you. Russell Baxter, fantastic. Really connected NFL insider. We get him on every couple of weeks here, along with Howard Balzer, my other Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame voter. Love having it. I thought he was perfect. He said he was going to get emotional. When you go back to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you have to go with someone. The key is road trip. You go with your buddies. If you've never gone, it's absolutely a bucket list. And you want to go with the player that you like the most. So a player's getting in, you go. And then if you're lucky enough to have access to one of the parties, all of the players who get into the Hall of Fame, they all have to throw their own party. And it gets interesting because the key to the parties is all the players have to go to the other parties. So if you're there at the Hall of Fame and you're Randy Moss, you're having this party, it's probably 300 people, 800 people, and you're in a ballroom at a hotel, you got to leave your party and you got to go to Robert Brazil's party and then you got to go to Bobby Bethard's party and you walk in with your gold coat and you shake hands and you take some pictures and then you go, I got to go. And then you got to go to the next party and then you got to get back to your party. And you got to see it up close. I've been lucky to do it a few times and everybody's got tears. Everybody's happy. And for Terrell Owens to absolutely blow it off, because T.O., we had him on. We're going to play that sound when tomorrow, Bobby. T.O. was in studio with us with the Caesar show. And I talked to him about that, and he kind of beat around the bush, but he gave us an indication that he wasn't going to go. And he wasn't going to go to that. And I think it's going to be the big mistake because he lost the room. He's still going to be able to show up at card shows and sign his name as a Hall of Famer. Remember, HOF, if you get a Hall of Famer to sign something for you, a ball, a jersey, a picture, you want the HOF in the year because that the value of the picture or the ball goes up. And T.O. will be able to sign HOF the rest of his life. But the big issue is going to be that everybody in the Hall of Fame has lost respect for him not showing up in Canton on the night to get his jacket. That, to me, is just a mistake that I don't think he'll ever be able to live down. But T.O. doesn't care. T.O. lives in the moment, and a lot of athletes do. It's the really cool athletes who live outside and have that legacy. Look at LeBron. LeBron just opened up a school in Canton, Ohio. He's in the moment. He's the best player, but he's outside the bubble doing great things for others. 4-0, Bobby, but your Red Sox, don't worry. Your Red Sox always come back. 4-0, Yankee. Your Red Sox always come back. We got baseball scores. Looney joins us at the top of the hour. I hope you can stick around. I know you do, but if you can tonight, Brett McMurphy joins us at 5:30 in less than an hour. He's the guy who broke the story on Urban Meyer. He'll talk to us in less than an hour right here on Fox.
Judge swings, lifts a high drive to deep right center. That ball is high, that is far, that is gone! A Judgian blast. Well, this is Judgment Day. All rise. Aaron Judge homers to deep right center. And before you can say hello, the Yankees have a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, Yankees on top early. JT back with you, Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Golden Entertainment. You know they own PT's. PT's has the best and biggest happy hour in town. It starts at 5, it goes 5 to 7, and then there's one from midnight to 2 a.m. Stop by PT's for an incredible experience. Sports, all the televisions, all the opportunities to watch Yankees, Red Sox, watch the Hall of Fame game. Get on out there for PT's. Again, really good show tonight. I really appreciate our guest, Joe Lisi, on Urban Meyer and what that's going to look like going forward. But Russell Baxter from Canton, Ohio, really locked in on what it means to get a gold jacket. And that's what this weekend's all about. Last week, it was baseball in Cooperstown, New York, with a really good class. I went back and watched Jim Thome's speech and Trevor Hoffman's speech. They were all so good. What happens in Canton on Saturday, the speeches will be a little long. They'll go long, and some guys will get up in the middle of the speeches, and they'll go get a drink. But when you watch it on TV, tape it all, and then go back and watch your favorite player, because this is a fantastic class. We didn't mention Brian Dawkins. What a career he's had. He's had some head trauma that he's talking about along the way, and I'm sure he's going to mention that at some point in his speech. Great job. Remember, we have a great interview coming up at 5:30 on the national show. Brett McMurphy, who broke the story on Urban Meyer in Ohio State, he'll join us at the bottom of next hour. Stick around for that. We'll ask him about the text messages, specifically, what did they say and what did Urban Meyer know and when did he know it? Thanks to Bobby who put the show together. Again, PT's and the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson. Your place for a new car, a pre-owned car, a deal. Head on out, say hi to Frank, and get a deal done there. They're waiting on you. Looney joins me at the top of the hour. The Fox show begins. We'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow locally on Fox Sports Radio.